I'm going to be reading tonight in James chapter 1. Is this done on purpose? I'm glad you came tonight.
Yes.
Lord willing, you won't be disappointed. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all your gifts. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. Thank you for life. And thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Bless your word tonight. Bless each person here tonight. And help me, Lord, to proclaim what you want me to say tonight, to lift up your name and to encourage each heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I want to talk to you tonight about the perfect gift. More than likely, you have searched on more than one occasion for that perfect gift. In fact, I would say that right now, at this very moment, there are countless people searching the internet for that perfect gift. You know, I'm glad you came tonight, or you'd be home doing the same thing probably. We all try to find that perfect gift. Maybe you're trying to find one for your spouse. Maybe for your child or your grandchild or for a friend or somebody. And it's a quest that most of the time you never quite get it. You know, you think it's a perfect gift, but then it turns out that it wasn't the perfect gift. And then you gotta look again next year. Or maybe you're here tonight and you're just dreaming about that perfect gift. You're dreaming, hoping mom and dad buy you that perfect gift you've been dreaming about, you know, for who knows how long. Well, I want to talk to you about that perfect gift because there is a perfect gift.
Yes.
That should compel each one of us to get involved in this matter that we're talking about, the matter of missions. And it's a gift that if you've been searching for that perfect gift and never found it, I have good news for you, because there is a gift out there that I think is the perfect gift. And I've got several ideas what makes it a perfect gift. The first one being that the perfect gift would have to be indispensable. Right? I mean, if you don't really need it, then it's not really that important. If you can do without it, then it's not that special. But if it's a gift that is indispensable, that you cannot live without, well, then that makes that a pretty good gift. Now, the problem is that many times we think that certain things are indispensable when they're not. If you have teenagers, I'm sure you've heard about the gift they cannot do without, right? It's a new gadget, a new game, a new cell phone, a new whatever, article of clothing that they cannot live without. You have to explain to them, yes, there is life without this new gift or this gadget or this whatever. But the perfect gift would be an indispensable gift, one that is essential even for survival. Not a new car, not a new gadget, not even a new house. Who wouldn't like the gift of a brand new house, right? But is it indispensable? No, I don't think it is. But something essential for life, you know, everything changes when a life is on the line, right? A few, not many days ago, we had this tragedy of the floods up in Kerrville. And I can guarantee you, there were lots of people that did not have any gifts, gadgets, clothes, or anything else on their mind. Their mind was set on one thing: that their child or their loved one might be found.
Yep.
And the one gift they would want It is the gift of that loved one being restored to them, being found in a tree somewhere alive or downstream, wherever. But hey, nothing else matters when a life is on the line. Why? Because what is more important than living, than just going on one more day? Maybe you need a new heart. When you need a new heart, nothing else matters, right? All you're doing is waiting for that phone call, for that one heart that will fit you and you can get a new heart. That kind of gift, that's indispensable, and that's a perfect gift.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the gift of life. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
What makes eternal life indispensable is that one day, every one of us will face God, and if you die in your sins without the forgiveness of God, you will die unforgiven, you will die without life, without God's life, without eternal life, and you will go to hell for eternity, and in that lake of fire, you will rue the day that you did not seek for that perfect gift. You will rue the day when you worried about things that were really trivial, not important, whether it was your job or your career or your new house or your dream car or whatever it was you were dreaming about, and you'll realize all those things were not indispensable. And the one thing that was indispensable, you didn't seek for. Well, I'm telling you tonight, if you don't know where you're going, there is a gift that you need that you cannot live without. One day, if you die without it, it'll be all over for you and you'll be in the lake of fire for eternity. But God says here that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That means that you can have a gift, you can have something that will last forever through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
And you can have it today.
That's true. Amen.
And if you're saved today, what greater gift could you give your loved one? Your child, your grandchild, your neighbor, your boss, your coworker, someone in this room that doesn't have the gift yet. What greater gift can you give? I mean, seriously, we've all done it. We've all thought about, what could I get for this person? Have you ever thought about giving them the gospel? I hope you have. But if you haven't, there is no greater gift you could give them. And if someone told you about this one day and you received it, you understand me. You'll say, yeah, that's the greatest gift I ever got. Not the new gadget, not the new car, not the whatever it was, but the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Someone told me about it and I'll never forget the day. And that testimony is repeated over and over and over. That's the perfect gift. An indispensable one. One you cannot live without. The second reason why we need to think about the perfect gift is because not all gifts are reliable. The perfect gift must be reliable, otherwise it's not perfect. Who wants an unreliable car for a gift, right? Who wants to get a car as a gift that nobody else wants because it breaks down every third day? Thanks a lot for the gift, you know. By the way, here's the car to the mechanic that can fix this car every third day. That's another gift for you. No, we don't want a gift like that. We want a reliable gift. You know what? God is offering us the gift of salvation that is a reliable one. It's not just some vague promise. It's not just fictitious or some fable, myth that makes you feel good. Jesus Christ said these words, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish."
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And you and I every day put stock in the promises of co-workers, bankers, lawyers, neighbors, friends, and we hear their promises, politicians, And sometimes we actually believe them. And we say, okay, I'm voting for this guy because he promised to do this. And maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, but we believe him. God himself has promised everlasting life as a gift. And it's a reliable promise. You can bank on it. Because the one who promised it gave his life for you, rose from the dead the third day, and he lives forevermore, and he's coming back, and he said he'll save you forever if you'll call on him today.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be great to give someone a reliable gift? That you can see them a week later, and they say, wow, that's a good gift, instead of, thanks for the car. It's in the shop already, you know. Thanks for the new gadget, but it already broke, you know, or whatever. It didn't stand the test. But the gift of salvation, the gift of good news, it's reliable. It won't ever fail you. Jesus himself, the Bible says that he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never perish. You'll never perish. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. No matter how bad things get, no matter how bad the world gets, he promises to be faithful. That's a reliable gift. You'd be crazy to turn it down. And you'd be wise to offer this gift to anybody you can find anywhere. Because it's a gift that they'll thank you for eternity. A reliable gift. It's so reliable that it's unlosable. Imagine a gift that you can't lose. You ever given someone a gift and then a week later you go see them and they can't find that gift? They didn't think it was that important. They gave it to their child or they just put it in the corner and then all of a sudden they can't find it and they feel bad and you look around and you don't see that gift and they're looking for it. And, oh boy. Hey, this is the gift you cannot lose. God said that you can, it's yours forever. And nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's a reliable gift. It's also indestructible. Imagine an indestructible gift. Again, we buy gifts for our children and our grandchildren. And sometimes it doesn't last a day.
Yep.
Ever done that? Ever bought a gift that you thought it was the perfect gift. And you thought that your child or your grandchild would really appreciate this gift and take care of it and know what it's for and what it's not for. And they get it. And the first thing they do is throw it or they bounce it or they, you know, whatever, put it in their mouth and all of a sudden it's gone. And you can't get it back. It's destroyed. And you think, I searched the internet for 3 days and now it's gone. Imagine a gift that's indestructible. Jesus, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, look at this verse. 1 Peter 1 verse 4. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Incorruptible. It won't rust. It won't go away. It won't. It can't be burned up. It can't be destroyed. It can't be lost. It can't be broken. It's reserved in heaven for you forever. And you can give that gift to imagine the target group. Imagine how many people. Who was it? D.L. Moody that said you cannot take the gospel to the wrong address.
Right.
And where you look, there's a potential recipient of this gift that's indestructible. And we worry about things that are so petty. The perfect gift, I think, would be a gift that's unattainable. Meaning one that you cannot afford. Right?
Sure.
I mean, if you can afford it, it's not that big of a deal. If I give you a pencil and say, here's a present, you say, well, thanks, but I got a dozen in my car and a dozen in that junk drawer and I got who knows how many more. Who cares about a gift like that, right? Oh, but it's a thought that counts. Yeah, they say that, but you know, seriously, right? But it's a gift that you yourself cannot afford. Wow, that's a perfect gift. I mean, you've dreamed about it, you've thought about it, and you thought, oh, I would never, ever be able to have this whatever. iPhone, car, house, dream house, dream vacation. You could never afford it. You know you can't. And yet someone gives it to you. You say, wow, that's the perfect gift because I would never buy it for myself. I could not afford it. Romans chapter 3, this is what makes this gift the perfect gift. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. This is why you should be involved in offering this gift to as many people as you can. Romans 3:20 says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now the problem is that most people think they can attain heaven and attain God's forgiveness on their own. They think they can be good enough. They think they can be holy enough. They think they can sin just a little bit and still make it. And God will just, you know, grade them on a curve and they'll make it somehow to heaven by their own good works or by their religion or by their trying to do good. But the Bible says that's impossible. Nobody can attain it on their own. Nobody. Now, if you know that, that makes this the perfect gift. Because there are a lot of people out there. Most of them think they can get it on their own, but none of them can. That means everywhere you go, you can find people that not only need it, but people that cannot get it any other way. And it means every single person that is not saved needs it. There's no other way. It's not an option. It's not just another idea. It is the only way. Jesus did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so if you have this gift of salvation, there are people out there that need it because they can't get it any other way. That's why the Bible says if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Imagine, we have a gift that the whole world needs. We have a gift that the whole world cannot live without, and a gift that they cannot attain on their own. They must hear the gospel. And makes that the perfect gift. Because there's no other way they can get it. The gospel is their only hope. The perfect gift would have to be remarkable, miraculous. Imagine a gift that's life-changing. Oh, we hear that all the time, don't we? Every day we're bombarded with ads about services and products that will change your life. Vitamins, medicine, gadgets, all kinds of stuff. Yep. In fact, most of them you never hear because you don't even answer the spam calls. But these spam calls are offering you a life-changing something. I mean, really, they're gonna give you something and it's gonna change your life. And it's always for free, you know, and all that stuff. But imagine a gift that really is remarkable, that really is life-changing. Imagine a gift that can take a drunkard and change him overnight. Imagine a gift that can take a drug addict and change him overnight. Yeah. That can take a persecutor of the church and transform him so much that he begins to preach the gospel that he once persecuted. He preaches the same gospel that he hated before. Yeah. Imagine a gift that can take a gang member sitting in jail and change him overnight to where he spends the rest of his life preaching the gospel all over the country.
Amen.
That's a remarkable gift.
Amen.
It's life-changing. It's miraculous. And it was a gift. Most of you may know him. Just ask him. Did he earn it? Did he buy it? No, it was a gift. And that gift changed his life overnight. It probably changed your life overnight. You probably have your own story. You remember the day when you heard the gospel. Some of you may have had... It may have quite the testimony, and you can say, yes, I remember, I would like to forget, but I really can't, but I remember the next day, I remember how different I was overnight. How is this possible? How can a gift change your life? Not just, you know, for a few minutes, like it does for children, you know, you give them a birthday present, ah, they're just like ecstatic, and they can't believe it. My wife just finished making another quilt for one of our grandchildren, and you thought she had given him the Taj Mahal. It was like, I think he thanked her like 25 times in the first half hour. And by his attitude, you would think that quilt changed his life. I mean, really? But you know, like all gifts like that, in a few days, you know, he won't be so ecstatic about it. He'll have other things, other problems, and he'll forget about it. But imagine this gift that can change your life forever. And you'll never forget it for the rest of your life. Unforgettable. That's pretty remarkable. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Wow. It doesn't say if any man tries hard to change, he'll be a new creature. It doesn't say if you, you know, join a religion. It just says if you're in Christ. If you receive the gift of salvation, you are a new creature and your life is transformed forever.
Amen.
That's pretty remarkable. That's quite a gift. The perfect gift, I think, would have to be a credible one. And again, we hear about free things all the time, don't we? Phone calls, ads in the mail, emails, all these scams. Everything is free, but nothing is free, right? There's always a fine print. There's always some kind of condition. You always got to do something, buy this or buy that or do this and do that. And you sign your name and then you're hooked for the next who knows how many months buying something every month, or you have to do this or do that. And you regret signing your name because it wasn't free. It wasn't a credible gift. It was a scam. It wasn't free. But a perfect gift would be one that really is free. Don't you get tired of all this free stuff that's not free?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. And don't you get tired of hearing these religions that talk about salvation that's not free? I mean, the Jehovah's Witnesses come to my house. Well, they don't come anymore. They just got kind of lazy, I guess. They just stand there in the corner and just... past the day, past the hours away. But they used to come to my house and they'd offer me the gift. They offer me, you know, this new idea, this new religion. And if I just receive it, you know, I could live forever. And then I found out that what I have to do is I have to preach what they preach, like they do it, like go house to house and do what they do. And then I'm thinking, is that why you're here? You're here in my house because you're trying to earn your own salvation? I thought you came to give me some good news. You came because you're trying to save your own skin, and that's fine, but that's not going to work. And now I'm convinced that you don't care about me, you care about yourself. All this free stuff that's not free, they don't care about you. Don't fall for it, right? Most of you probably don't. And when you do, sometimes, oh, why did I fall for that? I should have known. I clicked on that thing or I answered that phone. It wasn't free. Now I regret it. But you know what? This really is free.
Amen.
There is no fine print. There is no catch. It's not a scam. Romans chapter 5 verse 18 says this. (Clears throat) Romans 5:18 says this: therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. In other words, because of Adam's sin, we were all born in sin and condemned. And then it says, even so, by the righteousness of one, that one being Jesus Christ, who was righteous and sinless and died for us, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Doesn't that sound kind of redundant? Free gift? Well, duh! Isn't the gift supposed to be free? Yeah, but I think some people don't quite understand that. So God has to kind of add to it and say, make sure you understand, this gift really is free. Amen. It's not a gift that you have to do something for. It's a free gift. It's given freely. What God says is, if you understand you need the gift, that you cannot live without this gift, that you go to hell without this gift, if you understand that, and if you will simply call upon Him and ask Him to save you, putting your faith in Jesus, He will save you. Because Jesus already paid on the cross for your sins.
Amen.
Amen.
So, even though it cost Jesus His blood, it doesn't cost you anything. Somebody else paid for it, and it's a free gift for you. That's a credible gift. That makes it a perfect gift because it really is free. And the last thing about the perfect gift is that it's re-giftable. Now, sometimes we re-give things that we don't want. Let's be honest.
Yep.
And we hope that we don't give it back to the person who gave it to us. That's always the danger of re-gifting. You forget where you got it, and you give it to that same person, and you wonder if they remember, or if they're just nice and forget about it and just be quiet, or they want to, you know, remind you, oh, I got it back. You know, like, be careful. Maybe right on the bottom of the gift where it came from so you don't make that mistake. But hey, the fact is, if you really are a believer, if you really believe the gospel, if you really have been saved, and you don't want to re-gift the gift of salvation, something is wrong with you. Seriously. Now, I know there is this tendency in us as humans, it is part of our nature. Which one of us would not like an exclusive gift that nobody else in the world has? I can almost guarantee you that my sister would love an original painting of somebody. Probably not very pretty, but she has her taste, right? And she would love this. I mean, she said, hey, I've got the original, the one and only painting by Van Gogh or whoever this guy is, you know? This is, and man, who wouldn't like that? I mean, that'd be pretty special. An exclusive gift nobody else has.
Yeah.
Or maybe we want a limited edition of a certain car, you know, Mustang, whatever, who knows, all this fancy cars and, you know, limited edition written on there, you know, only 25 were made. And I have one of them. Wow, that's amazing. What a gift. But when it comes to the gospel, what makes a gift perfect is that it's a gift that you want everyone to have. Really? You mean like even my enemies? Yeah, even your enemies. What a thought. To want your worst enemy to have the best gift that you ever have. That's not normal, right? No. You're happy that you have it and he doesn't because he's your enemy. But if you're a believer, you should want everyone to have this gift. Because the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. It says he would have all men to be saved. And if he wants all men to be saved, that means he wants everyone to have the gift that you have. And since it's more blessed to give than to receive, the perfect gift is one that's regiftable. And what's even better than that is that when you regift it, you still got it. Isn't that cool?
Right.
You don't have to give it up. God didn't make you give it away. Even Paul was willing. He said, look, I would be willing to be accursed so that my brethren could be saved. But God didn't demand that. God didn't take Paul's salvation away from him. You can re-gift the gift of salvation, and God still allows you to keep that gift. Hey, it's a no-brainer. It's a win-win. We have the story in the Old Testament, and I'll close with this. It's in 2 Kings, chapter 7. It's a story of some lepers. Second Kings chapter 7. These are four lepers that are in a city and they're being they're surrounded by the enemy, and doesn't look like they're going to be able to be saved. Their outlook is pretty bleak. But God did a miracle and the enemy just scattered on its own overnight. They didn't have to do anything. The enemy just, God scattered the enemy. And these lepers went out to the camp of this enemy. And we pick up in verse 7. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. That's the enemy. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and golden raiment and went and hid it. And came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Wow, this is like the lottery. They got everything to themselves. The enemy is gone and they got the spoils and there's just no end to it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. If we tarry to the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come and we may go and tell the king's household. They were given a gift. The gift of life. And they were rescued. And at one point they realized, this is not right. We did nothing for this. We didn't earn this. It just fell in our laps. And we should not be silent about this. We got to go and tell somebody else about this. You know what? That's the message for us. Salvation was given to us as a gift. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't attain it on our own. And yet God gave it to us. And if we sit here and just enjoy it and not re-gift it, we do not well. Amen?
All right. That's right. Yeah. Amen.